Tonight, I want to pick up where I left off this morning. This morning, I talked about have a dream, tell a dream. Tried to encourage you from the book of Jeremiah, where God gave Jeremiah, or the prophets of that day, that instruction. And I mentioned this morning that we ought to have dreams for ourselves and for our children and for the work of God. We ought to tell those dreams, because as we tell them, we make ourselves accountable for doing what we can to achieve those dreams. We get other people to help us, and we maybe inspire other people to have either the same dream or a different dream. And then I ended tonight with just a couple comments on the subject, do it. Well, tonight I want to speak on the subject, how to make your dreams come true. There's many scriptures in the Bible that talk about how to achieve what God wants us to achieve in our Christian life. And that's what I believe that dreams are. That God puts a desire in our heart, puts a desire in our soul, in our mind about something that He wants us to accomplish, or something that He wants us to pray for in the life of our children or our grandchildren, something that we ought to pray for and work at in the life of our church. And there's many scriptures that speak to how to achieve those dreams. One of them is very familiar. It's in the first Psalm, verse 1 through 3, where the Bible says, "Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor setteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." Those good words, Brother Leroy, that you were talking about a moment ago. "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And that's just one example of a scripture in the Bible that talks about that if we stay in the Word of God, if we meditate in the Word of God and live in the Word of God, that God will prosper the things that we set our hand to do. And there's many other scriptures. And I'm going to pick out three tonight and put them together in a little package and talk about each one of them for a little bit. But they all revolve around the same theme. There's many types of people that have had their dreams come true, that have achieved the things that they've dreamed about. Not just from a spiritual standpoint, but in other areas of activities. And it really doesn't matter what field you're talking about. The principles of the Bible apply to every field in life. A lot of people try to make a division between the secular and the spiritual. I don't believe there's any division. I believe that God expects us to live our life in the secular world based on the spiritual principles that we love in His Word. And we read about in His Word. They work in the secular world. They just don't work in our spiritual life. They work in every area of our life. And so you can look at different people that have achieved their dreams. And it's a variety of people. Some of those people have been loud and boisterous. Some have been soft-spoken and quiet. Some have been very funny at times. Some have been very serious. Some have been very deep in their thought life, and others have been very shallow in their thought life. But the ones that have achieved their dreams have done the things that we're going to talk about tonight that come from the Word of God. And again, it doesn't matter what field. You can look at the field of sports. You know, baseball season is winding up. The basketball season is starting. The hockey season is starting. The football season is starting. And you can look at people that in sports have accomplished their dreams. You can look at men like Vince Lombardi, the coach of the Green Bay Packers that won many Super Bowls. You can look at Bear Bryant, the coach at Alabama. You can look at, you know, the famous baseball players and the famous golfers and those that have achieved their dreams in their field. They've all applied the principles that we're going to talk about tonight. And again, I'm not holding any of these guys up as heroes. I don't agree with everything they've all done. But they've achieved their dreams. And they've done it by applying the biblical principles. Maybe they didn't know they were biblical principles. But they did it by applying the biblical principles we're going to talk about tonight. Same thing in business. I mean, you can talk about people like Ray Kroc, the guy that started McDonald's, or Conrad Hilton, the guy that started the Hilton chain of hotels. Sam Walton for Walmart. Kresge that started the Five and Dime store. They all had these. They all exhibited these same characteristics that we're going to talk about tonight in the Lord's work. You talk about men like D.L. Moody. You talk about men like Charles Spurgeon. You talk about men like Billy Sunday. You talk about men like Billy Graham. They were successful. They saw their dreams come true. And they did because they used the things that we're going to talk about tonight. They put them in their life. And so let me say that it doesn't matter what field. It doesn't matter what kind of person you are, what kind of personal characteristics you have. The things we're going to talk about tonight are biblical spiritual principles that will work for you. As God puts a vision on your heart, as God puts a dream in your mind about what He wants you to be, about how He wants to use you in His work, about the dreams that He gives you for your children or your grandchildren, the dreams that He gives you for the work of God that you're involved in, can all be accomplished if we put into practice the principles that we're going to talk about tonight. So tonight, I'm going to use three scriptures. We read one, and by the way, they're all simple. They are all simple scriptures and yet profound. I read one time that a preacher said, profundity is always cloaked in simplicity. The deep things of God are always cloaked in the simple things of God. We sing the song, often we sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. One of the simplest songs that's probably in our hymnal. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong, they are weak, but He is strong. Simple song, simple message, but oh, how profound. Oh, how deep in the spiritual sense. And the profound things of God are always dressed in simplicity. And so it is with these three verses tonight. The first one we read, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with thy might. That word might is the same word that we get our word dynamite from. So you could read that verse, whatsoever thy hand find to do, do it with dynamite. Do it with all the power that you have available to you. The second one I'll point you to tonight and put in this little package that we'll open together is in the book of Colossians chapter 3, verse 23, where the Bible says, and whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men. That word heartily is the same word that we get our word cardia, that we get our word cardiac, and we get our word for some of the heart thing connected to the heart that we get our English word from. Whatsoever you do, do it with your heart, your innermost being, and do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord, not unto man. And then the last one we'll look at comes from the book of 3 John. Just one chapter in 3 John, verse 5 of that book, where the Bible says, beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And so tonight, I'll take these three simple little verses, I'll put them together and tell you that if you use this package of scriptural truth, you can make the dreams that God gives for you, for your children, for your grandchildren, for God's work, the dreams that He's put on your hearts and on your minds, you can accomplish them. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily. Whatsoever thou doest, do it faithfully. Let's look at the first one tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. I'll submit to you tonight, and I'll make this statement, and you might not agree with it at first, but everything we set out to do, we ought to do it with all our might. I want you to notice how that verse starts out. Whatsoever, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. That verse doesn't say, whatsoever big things thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. It says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. It doesn't say whatsoever glamorous things you find to do, do it with your might. But whatsoever you find to do, do it with your might. It doesn't say whatsoever things that you find that are exciting to do, do it with your might. It says, whatsoever you find to do, do it with your might. It doesn't say, whatsoever things that you do that are going to be seen of men, do it with your might. It says, whatsoever you find to do, do it with your might. So we can take that verse and apply it to everything that we do in our life. The big things and the little things. The things that other people see us do and the things we do when nobody's looking. We can apply it to the things that might be the mundane part of life. The things that we have to do because nobody else is going to do them. Or the things that we're excited to do. And so God's saying, whatever you find to do, whatever you find to do, do it with your might. God doesn't like people that do things half-heartedly. And we'll talk about the heart in just a minute. But God doesn't like people that just go through the motions of doing things. God says in that verse, hey, that if you're going to do something, don't just give it half of your effort. Don't just give it three-quarters of your effort. Don't just go through the motions. If you're going to do something, then go ahead and do it with all your might. And again, that word might is the same word that we use for dynamite. So what it says is, do it with all the power you have available to you. Don't just use 10% of your power, 50% of your power, or even 95% of your power. Give it everything you got. Well, let me give you some examples that you might not think about to do this. When you take a shower, do it with all your might. And some of you might be bath people. I've never liked to take a bath. I guess I took some when I was a little kid. I've always been a shower person. I enjoy getting in the shower. I enjoy having a rough bar of soap. I like to use lava when I can get lava. It scratches you. When I take a shower, I want to do it with all my might. I don't want to just give it a half-hearted effort. I mean, if I could get a soap, piece of soap that looked like a scrub board, I know, Brother Clyde, they probably have some hillbilly soap like that. I say that you and Paul go out and buy me one of those things, but I was going to say, if I could find soap that looked like a scrub board, I'd use that too, because I want to do it with all my might, because God says, if you're going to do something, do it with all your might. When you cut the grass, again, a mundane kind of thing. I mean, most people, when I was working for GM, I always liked to cut the grass, Brother Jack, because it was something I could get done. I could look at it and say, it's done, at least for the week. You know, the job that I had, hardly anything got done because there was always something else to do. But when we cut the grass, again, that's what this verse is saying. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with your might. Give it all that you've got. Don't hold anything back. Give it all the power that you have. And again, it doesn't matter what the task is. The Bible doesn't say if it's a big task, give it all your might. It doesn't matter how big the task. It doesn't matter how important or how trivial it is. Do it with all your might. There's a lot of people that say, well, preacher, I'll give it all my might when something big comes up. When the big job comes up, then I'll pitch in and I'll give it all the effort that I have. The problem is that the big jobs might not come to people that don't attack the little jobs. You see, God looks at how we handle the little jobs and do we give it all our might for the little jobs before he'll trust us with big jobs. And so he says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, whatever it is, whatever the task, give it all you got. That's how you make your dreams come true. That's how you achieve the things that God lays on your heart. Now, I want you to know something else about that verse before we move to the second one. I know I'm almost out of time, but just hang on with me. It says, whatsoever thy hand find to do. Usually, if you find something, you have to look for it. Usually, if you find something, you're searching for it. When I was working, I had three categories of people that I experienced in my role as a supervisor at work. I had a small, very small group of people that just didn't want to work, and it was always funny. We talked about it. We always spent more time dealing with that small percent of people that didn't really want to work than we did with the other two groups of people. And it was always a shame Because we could have accomplished so much more by dealing with the other two groups of people than concentrating on these people. So we had a small group that didn't want to work. Then we had a group of people that were good workers. But you had to tell them what to do. You had to point them in the direction. They were good workers, good, solid workers. But they waited for somebody to give them instruction. They waited for somebody to assign them a task. Then there was a third group of people that knew what we were trying to accomplish, and you didn't have to direct them. All you had to do was make sure they had what they needed, because they would go out and they would find things that needed to be done. They would find things that would help us accomplish the job that we were trying to do, and they just set about doing it. Nobody had to tell them to do it. Again, those were the kind of people I loved working for me, because all you had to do was make sure they had the tools, and you kept other people out of their way. I found that was my biggest responsibility as a supervisor, to get other people to quit bothering my people and leave them alone so they could just do what they knew to do and get the job done. Well, that's what this verse says. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. You know, a lot of times we're waiting for revelation from God. Said, well, when God reveals to me what he wants me to do, I'll give it everything that I've got. I'll work with all the power I have. I'll give it all my might. We know there's a lot of things that you can find to do for God that he don't have to tell you that you need to do. There's a lot of things that he's already given us plenty of instructions in this book. And if you're waiting for another revelation, you're not going to get one. Because he's already revealed what he wants us to know in the pages of this book. Brother Dan mentioned one tonight. He's already revealed to us that we're supposed to tell other people about Jesus. Now, that's a task that every single one of us ought to be able to say, I'm going to give it everything that I've got. I'm going to give it all my might to reach out and tell somebody about Christ. We got another phone call a couple weeks ago. Somebody called me and said, preacher, you need to start worrying. I said, why? He said, well, it's all over the internet. We're going to be sued. Why? Why are we going to be sued? Because somebody found one of our tracts in a box that was sealed in a store, and they don't believe it's right for us to put our tracts in sealed boxes, and they're going to sue us. Well, I'm still waiting to hear from the lawyers. If we get sued, I believe that we have a God in heaven that can touch the heart of a judge and say, case dismissed. Amen. Get over it. I believe that we ought to give it all that we have with all our might to tell other people about Jesus. But that is true. Hey, let me talk. There's only a couple. So Jameson, and Travis, and where'd Dominique go? Back in the nursery. All right. So Jameson and Travis, listen to me just for a second, both of you. I'm going to tell you a secret. I want you to try something this week. I want you to go home, and I want you to look for something to do. Not watch television and not play the video games and not like that. I want you to look for something to do. I want you to look and see if the garbage needs taking it out. And I don't want your mom or dad to have to tell you to take the garbage out. I want you to just do it. Do it. Amen? If your room needs picking up, or if your bed needs making up, or your toys need picking up, don't wait for somebody to tell you. Just pick them up. Travis, when you go over Grandpa and Grandma's house like you did today, don't wait for Grandma to say, help me carry the dishes to the sink. Just get up from the table and carry the dishes to the sink. You know what might happen? Mom and Dad, Grandpa and Grandma might have a heart attack. Oh, Jameson, Mom and Dad might have, oh, he's doing something we didn't tell him to do. Sometimes I think God might have a heart attack when some of us step up to the plate and say, I don't have to wait for God to tell me. I'm just going to get at it and do it. He'll get up in heaven. He'll say, man, look at that. They found something to do, and they're doing it with all their might. That's how we get accomplish our dreams. Again, the things that God lays on our heart. We find something to do, and we give it all we got, and we do it. So I got to hurry. Number two, the second verse I want to look at is Colossians 3:23. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not unto man. Do it heartily. Do it with your whole heart. Do it out of your heart. Let me give you an illustration. I'll just use Chantel tonight since I haven't picked on her for a while. And this is not really picking on her, so this she's getting off easy tonight. So, you know, Chantel has a job. She goes to work on occasion, but she goes to work. Let me ask you tonight. When she goes to work, does she stop being Aaron and Arnie's mom? Does she? I mean, does she turn that part of her life off and say, okay, now I'm stepping into the work world, and I'm no longer a mom, I'm an employee? Of course, you know the answer to that. No. No. I mean, if something happens at home, and she has to go home to help out, resolve a situation, she'll, you know, immediately leave work and go home and take care of it. She never stops being a mom. And I think what this verse is saying is that when God gives us a dream, when God gives us a vision, we ought to do it with our whole heart. In other words, it never leaves our heart. It never gets off our mind. The dream that God has given us stays on our heart. And again, talking about the heart, not the organ that pumps blood, but that the innermost part of our being. That dream becomes the innermost part of our being. And regardless of what we do, whether we go to work or whether we have some leisure time and enjoy something pleasurable to do or whatever we do, that thing that's on our heart never leaves our heart. And then notice what that verse says. It says, when you do it as if you're doing it unto the Lord and not unto man. In other words, whatever I do, I not only do it with all my might, but I do it like I'm doing it for Jesus Christ. I do it like I am directly accountable to Him for the way that I approach the task, for the way that I do the job. And as I do it, I'm not trying to please my spouse. I'm not trying to please my kids. I'm not trying to please any other church member. What I'm trying to do is please my Savior. Is please my Savior. You see, if I enter into every task that I do, and I do it with all my might, and I do it with the attitude, I'm not doing this for any other person, I'm doing it for Jesus. Amen. By the way, there's a lot of things we won't get involved in if we take that attitude. Because if we can't do it for Jesus, we shouldn't be doing it in the first place. Amen? Amen. And so, every task that I do it as I'm doing it unto Him. Of course, He said, in that you've done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. We serve Him. We do things for Him. We do things to Him as we do it to other people. So do it with all your might. Do it heartily. Never let it leave your heart. And do it as you're doing it unto the Lord. And then quickly, the third verse, 3 John, verse 5, do it faithfully. Whatsoever thou doest, do it faithfully. We stay at it. We keep at it. This is where, and by the way, every one of these things, every single one of us can do it. There's not one person that can't do these three things. Do it with all your might. Do it heartily as to the Lord, and do it faithfully. Doing it faithfully means you just stay at it. It might not come right when you start. You might have to work at it. There might be some obstacles. We talked about the obstacles that Joseph faced as his dreams came true this morning. We talk about the obstacles that Nehemiah faced as his dreams came true. But you go back and you look at people that have accomplished their dreams. They weren't always a success. Everything they did always didn't prosper. There was failures in their life. Kresge went broke two or three times before he succeeded in opening up his 5 and 10 dime store. He went bankrupt two times. If I remember right, I read his autobiography. He went bankrupt two different times before he succeeded. And again, an example of that, we have to be faithful. We have to stay at the task. We're going to make mistakes. There's going to be disappointments. There's going to be failures. There's going to be times that we want to quit. But if we're going to accomplish our dreams, we have to stay at it. We have to stay faithful. And so, again, this little package with three simple little verses. Whatsoever your hand find to do, do it with all your might. Whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord, not unto man. Whatsoever you do, do it faithfully. Do it faithfully. Put those three little things in a package. You work at it. God will help you accomplish your dreams. You'll accomplish great things for Him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the instruction that it gives us. Thank you, Father, for caring about how we live our lives, how we serve you, and telling us how to do it. And I pray tonight that every single one of us would take something. Again, I believe this was your message. I believe that you have something in it for everybody. And I pray that we take what you prepared for us and we put it to work in our life. Father, I also pray tonight if there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ, that again, they would see their sin. The song that Dominique sang a moment ago had the gospel contained in it. It's amazing that you loved us enough to send your son to die in our place. And Father, again, if there's just one person here tonight that doesn't know what it means to be part of your family, doesn't know what it means to be one of your children, doesn't know what it means to have their sins forgiven, I pray tonight you would help them see the Savior. Help them see that He's the only hope that they have to have a right relationship with you. Only hope they have to get to heaven. And Father, as we sing in just a minute a song of invitation, help them to come and we'll take the Bible and show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. So bless this time of invitation. Use it, Father, to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.